Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up! Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes! Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport App says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
By Jordan Schultz, who's a tremendous NFL insider for Bleacher Report, and he's here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Jordan, I know it's been a long time coming. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much for hopping on board with us on this Tuesday afternoon.
My pleasure, Zach. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much. Let me start you off with this report today that Dak Prescott, right, your report that he could be getting a deal this offseason up to $60 million a year. How about that one? Holy smokes, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to consider with Dak. Number one, he has a lot of leverage. You know, he can't be tagged. He has a no-trade clause. His cap number is north of $59 million next season. There's so much leverage for Dak Prescott. And then we consider the fact that they still have to pay CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. So there's a lot of moving parts here. They couldn't wait to pay Parsons. He just became extension eligible for the first time. They also just waited last year. They pushed CD down the road. So, in essence, they have three top-tier guys they have to pay. Maybe two of them get done this offseason, one next year. But Dak Prescott, three straight years of 12 wins. He was in the MVP conversation for most of the season. And in my mind, considering all the leverage he has, and what I was told going back to the owners' meetings in Dallas a couple months prior, I think he has a real chance to get close to $60 million, or maybe up to $60 million. Somewhere in between 55 and 60, and reset the market.
I will never fault a player for taking the most amount of money possible, especially when they participate in this lethal sport that we all love in football. I look at Dak. I know what you said, right? He was a top five in the MVP voting. He was a finalist this year. He had a good season. But I just view him as a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. But we keep on seeing good quarterbacks getting paid like they're great quarterbacks. Will this ever even out, just wondering, and will we find a middle ground? Or is this just going to be, if you're in the good conversation, you'll reset the market each and every year with the salary cap, just keep on going up and up and up?
Yeah, I think that's the key right there. As the cap continues to increase, you're going to see more quarterbacks because of the nature of the position. You're going to see that number continue to rise. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about $30 million being a huge number. Now we're basically doubling that. And we saw last offseason, you know, Justin Herbert resets it, Burrow. We've obviously, you mentioned Russell Wilson. There's just a litany of guys. You could say they're really good, they're great, whatever you want to call them, that are going to get huge numbers. I mean, Tua's up as well. I think Tua is going to have the opportunity to get a huge number. So when it comes down to that position and where we are at in terms of the salary cap, there's no doubt in my mind that number is going to continue going up. I mean, another guy is Jared Goff. I mean, he had a great year. They obviously were on the verge of a Super Bowl appearance. And I think he has a really good chance, Zach, in Detroit to get somewhere around 40 to 45, which would make him one of the higher paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
You brought up Tua. Do you think the Dolphins should maybe ride this out for one more season, just because for most of his NFL career, unfortunately, it's been filled with the concussions, it's been filled with the injuries, and I know he just had a good season, but still, they didn't really do much in the postseason where they lost to the Chiefs in the first round. Do you fully expect Tua's deal to get done this offseason?
I'm not sure, but I would like to see it get done, because the type of season, I know what you're saying with the concussions, and I understand it, but the season he had with Mike McDaniel was so special that it makes you believe that they have an opportunity to do something really, really impressive. Like, I feel like that offense, you know, they hung the 70 when they beat Denver. And for most of the season, that offense was really the best offense in the league. And as we saw the season progress with Tua, you know, you always wondered, like, when's this shoe going to fall, or when's it going to go on the other foot? And is something going to happen to him? And he persevered, and he showed toughness. And I know that, as you said, obviously the season did not end the way they wanted it to. They had a lot of injuries. But I saw in this year a Tua that was so much different and better. I was actually talking to his quarterback coach a while back, Nick Hicks, and he was telling me that going into this season, Tua's priority was really to strengthen his arm, and that they were able to do that through all of their preseason conditioning, and that he was consistently throwing the ball much further as well as much more accurately. And now we saw that this year, and obviously they have some terrific young weapons. I would love to see him get paid, and I think he's earned it.
Just circling back to what you were saying about Dak Prescott and financially, right, with the cap hit for this year being almost $60 million, it probably does behoove them to get a deal done, even though I don't love giving Dak $60 million a year potentially. Do you think there's any chance that they don't get a deal done and they just ride this out this year?
They could, but that would be a mistake to me. And also, like you said, if they pay Dak that type of money, and I know it's a huge number, but let's say they pay him 60 or near that, that gives them the opportunity to take care of other guys like a CeeDee Lamb right now as well. And so when I think about Dallas and Jerry Jones and the fact that this is a franchise that really over the past three decades has been trying to find that magic again, I just don't see a scenario where they don't pay him given the leverage. And again, I think it's really important to hit on the fact that his cap number is essentially 59.5 next year. So I believe, like you said, it would behoove them to pay him now. I don't really know what the alternative is to Dak Prescott. Obviously you have Trey Lance there and Cooper Rush, and you know, if they decide they don't want to go with Dak, well, they can't trade him because he has a no trade clause and they're not going to tag him. So again, there's not a whole lot of leverage for Dallas. And so I think given that and the fact that, like you said, we know what Dak is. He's not a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson, but he's a very good upper echelon quarterback. And with that, to me, the type of leader he is, the fact that he's only 31 years old, I just think it's going to happen.
Talking to Jordan Schultz right now, in the game of likely or unlikely, it feels right now that it's unlikely Kirk Cousins is back in Minnesota. I kind of think he's going to sign with the Atlanta Falcons, and the Falcons will be aggressive. How likely do you think it is that Kirk will get another deal done with Minnesota?
Before the Achilles, I thought there was a real opportunity that they could extend him and maybe he finishes his career in Minnesota. Now, to your point, I mentioned this earlier on Bleacher, I think Atlanta makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. Number one is he has a lot of family there. His wife's family is from there. He's from there. He spends a lot of time in the offseason there. But also they just brought in Zach Robinson as the OC. And the bridge there is that Robinson comes from the Rams, which is Sean McVay. Kevin O'Connell, his coach in Minnesota, also runs a very similar offense. So there would be a lot of synergy there right away. And the fact that Atlanta has really good young weapons with Algier and Robinson and Pitts and obviously Drake London, I just think Atlanta is a tailor-made situation where if they were to bring in someone like Kirk Cousins, that's a 10-11 win team next season. They have a good roster. They have a good offensive line. And I think the Falcons, to me, make probably the most sense for Kirk Cousins. But I wouldn't say that they're a lock. I wouldn't say it's a lock that he's not in Minnesota next year. I know he's talked about his allegiances to the city and to the franchise, and I know there's a lot of good synergy there as well. But you also have Justin Jefferson, who he himself wants to reset the receiver market and essentially get more than Tyreek Hill. So let's say that's 31 or 30 and change million. So there's a lot of moving parts in Minnesota. I think Harrison Smith's likely to be cut. They have to figure out what they're going to do with Danielle Hunter. But that's a team that won 7 straight, looked like a playoff team down the stretch. And you can make the argument both sides. But I just think, in my opinion, Kirk Cousins there's a legit shot that he's playing somewhere else next year. And the Falcons, to me, probably make the most sense.
When we get to Russell Wilson, it's inevitable he's going to get released, as Jordan Schultz is here with us from Bleacher Report. It's inevitable that Russ is going to get released from the Broncos, unless you have other information that we're not aware of. Where could you see maybe a fit or two for Russell Wilson in his next chapter?
I think Pittsburgh is a team that I would monitor. I think there was a report that they don't want to go after a veteran. I don't know about that. I think, you know, Pittsburgh is a lot of possibilities there. I don't see the Raiders. I know that that team has been floated a lot. I just don't see that being a fit. To your point about Russell Wilson, I mean, there's really no doubt in my mind, considering where we're at. And I reported, you know, a couple months back that, you know, on October 31st, 2 days after he beats the Chiefs, Sean Payton, George Payton, they go to him. They say, if you don't defer your $37 million in injury guarantees, we're going to make you inactive. And then they had that soap opera internally the rest of the season. So, and I don't really believe, honestly, Zach, that Sean Payton ever really wanted Russell Wilson there. And so to me, to your point, I think it's pretty understood league-wide that he'll be playing somewhere else next year. So really it comes down to, what does Russell Wilson want? He doesn't really need the money per se. He's going to get all that guaranteed money from Denver. And to me, it's, I think, adding to his resume. He already has one Super Bowl. What, if I'm him, I'm thinking, what organization gives me the best opportunity to contend, knowing that, you know, money isn't at this point the number one factor for me? And I mentioned Pittsburgh potentially. I mean, Atlanta's another one. But he's going to have to make that decision ultimately of what's the number one priority for him and then go from there. I think he's a starting quarterback. I mean, 27 touchdowns last year. He was probably a top 10, top 12 quarterback for most of the season. They won five straight at one point. So I think he's a starting quarterback, and there's no question about that.
I know a lot of these teams could probably cross over as we're wrapping up with Jordan Schultz's great job for Bleacher Report. Everyone kind of expects the Bears to take Williams at one, and they'll trade Justin Fields. Who do you think the teams are that will most heavily pursue Justin Fields when he becomes available via trade?
Well, not to double down on Atlanta again, but the Falcons, there is absolutely a building buzz among the NFL that the Falcons would be in play for Justin Fields. Obviously, he's from Gainesville, Georgia, and grew up there, and the Falcons, another team. When I think about Atlanta with Justin Fields, there's something about a backfield shared by him and Bijan Robinson that really gets me fired up. You know, I see it. You know, you can really see how that could materialize and be something super special. You know, I think Chicago's in a position where it's probably more than likely they're going to reset the clock, get Caleb Williams number one, maybe get another wide receiver to compliment DJ Moore, and then build their roster out from there. But they have so many needs. And it's my understanding that Fields at this point probably commands a late first-round pick. So you can get real value for him and ideally allow him to restart his career somewhere else. I still believe, Zach, I don't know where you're at on this, but I still believe that Justin Fields' talent is so robust that in the right system with the right coordinator, he could be a super special quarterback. He just hasn't really had it in Chicago. So to me, I know we've talked about Atlanta a lot, but that's a franchise that I think is really hungry for a quarterback. And I like Desmond Ridder. Last season's performance, I don't know if they can go into next year. And they've already talked about Terry Fontenot wanting a new quarterback. So the Falcons, to me, are going to be in play for a lot of these guys, including Cousins and Fields.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Arthur Blank at the Super Bowl, and he told me that he likes his roster and he thinks they're just a quarterback away. So since we've thrown Atlanta out there for a lot of destinations for quarterbacks, you know, I wonder, Jordan, do you think Kirk would be better there, or do you think it would be Justin Fields? I lean more Kirk because I think he's more of a sure thing, but where do you fall on that if you had to pick between one of them?
I would like – this is just me. I'm not sourcing this. I would like to see Fields. I really would. I just think they have so much team speed and playmaking on offense. And Cousins is a really good quarterback, but he's going to sit in the pocket and rely on guys to win. But with Fields, you add the dynamic. Now, he doesn't have the throwing prowess of Cousins, but he does have a really good strong arm, and he has proven to be able to throw the ball down the field with time. You have that offensive line. I think if you line him up with Bijan, with Algier, with those weapons, a healthy Kyle Pitts, to me, that's just – the upside is higher. I guess the floor is probably higher with Cousins, but the upside is higher with Fields. And if I'm the Falcons and I'm Arthur Blank, who's 82 years old, wants to win now, I like the idea of swinging for the fences.
Do you believe that Saquon, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs will all be on new teams? It seems like Derrick Henry absolutely will, but how about Saquon and Josh Jacobs?
I think Henry, yes. Jacobs, I'd say more than likely, yes, but not a slam dunk. And then Saquon, to me, is probably the most interesting. I really don't see a scenario where the Giants tag him when that number is. I think he's going to have an opportunity at 27 to really cash in. And I know that the free agency market for running backs has been super rough, Zach, the last couple few years. But I think there's a real shot that Saquon finds a home elsewhere with real money. It's not going to be what it was 10, 15 years ago, but it's going to be good money, and I think he's earned it. He has been one of the best running backs in the league. And I know last year he missed about a month, but incredibly productive over the last two seasons. And because he can catch the football, because he can block, and I've had Giants guys tell me that throughout all of the hardship they've experienced last season, Saquon was the heartbeat. That was the guy that every day was consistently uplifting people. He was the heartbeat of the team. And I just think he's going to be too valuable in free agency. And I just think given the Giants' holes, it's probably – there's a real shot that he moves on and finds another home with real money.
Now, I made two predictions when it comes to wide receivers. As much as I would like to see Mike Evans stay with Tampa Bay, I've seen some of your reporting on it. I don't think it's likely. I have Mike Evans going to Houston this offseason, and then with Calvin Ridley, I have him taking a two-year deal, good guaranteed money there, and going to Kansas City. How actively involved do you think the Chiefs and Texans will be for a wide receiver?
Okay, so the Texans, I think, you know, it's one of those where you would love to give C.J. Stroud one more weapon. They obviously had a lot of success last year with Tank Dell and Nico Collins. They have a running back who had a good year, and Devin Singletary. He's a free agent, but and Dalton Schultz had a really good year. He's a free agent. So I think Houston is – it's not like a huge need, but it would be a nice addition. I think they'll be active in wide receiver money, but the money is going to be the real factor. And you mentioned Calvin Ridley. So it's important to note, Jacksonville can actually retain that second-round pick from Atlanta if they bring him back, but they have to do it and allow Ridley to become a free agent. So I know there was some confusion yesterday, and it is true. If they sign him, extend him before free agency, they have to give a second-round pick comp to Atlanta for that trade. But if they wait, there is a possibility that they bring him back. With that said, I think those are two of the top free agent names. Obviously, Pittman, T. Higgins, Gabe Davis, but you know you could see Pittman and Higgins getting tagged. Evans, to me, is such a special player because you know what he's going to give you. He's going to give you 80 catches, 1,000 yards, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns. And I think because of his consistency, he has a chance to get a massive contract. He's 30, 31 years old. This is the time to cash in. Ridley's 29. He's going to get a lot of money as well. I think the Chiefs are certainly going to be players for a receiver, considering their only consistent weapons last year from a receiving standpoint were Kelce and Rashee Rice. So get one more guy and help Patrick Mahomes. So I think the Chiefs and Texans will be active, but I'll give you some other teams I know are really interested in receivers and potentially in Mike Evans. The Jets, the Lions, the Panthers, and the Patriots. Those would be four I would watch as well.
The Lions and the Jets, that would really be something.
Well, I think the Jets are really hell-bent on getting another weapon for Aaron Rodgers and having him opposite Garrett Wilson. And the reason I like Evans is because he's a different type of receiver than Wilson. You know, Wilson is kind of that classic X, super smooth. Evans has that big frame who's awesome inside the 20s. They're totally different receivers who can really do a lot of different things. And I think the idea of pairing Wilson with Evans for Aaron Rodgers is special. I think they need to upgrade their offensive line. They need to get a backup running back to help Breece Hall. But the Jets are certainly going to be in play for wide receiver and certainly going to have an opportunity to spend some money on the position.
He's a man with a ton of NFL information. He does a great job for Bleacher Report. He is Jordan Schultz. Jordan, always appreciate your insight and perspective. Thank you.
I love the show, Zach. Happy to come on anytime. Appreciate it.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's Claim a Ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
No need to debate the issue. Blinds.com's President's Day sale can save you up to 50% on new premium window treatments. Finally, there's a better way to give your home the presidential treatment. With Blinds.com, you'll never deal with pushy salespeople campaigning in your home or spend hours at overwhelming showrooms. Shop 100% online with upfront pricing, free virtual consultations, free samples, and free shipping. From natural wood shutters to motorized shades and more, get unlimited premium custom window treatments installed for one low cost. Do it yourself or elect to have a pro handle the installation. Our free design experts are ready to help you make the perfect selection. Blinds.com has you and your windows covered with our 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy, we'll make it right. Now that's presidential treatment. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day sale happening now for up to 50% off, plus premium doorbusters. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.